Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Jesus' name is the name above all names. Scripture says it is. Scripture said it would be. And it is. I mean, there is no more famous name than Jesus. There's no one more famous. No prophet. There's some great prophets in other religions, but I don't know them. If you're not in that religion, you don't know them. But Jesus, everyone knows Jesus. There's no name above his name. Now, that's not bad for a humble carpenter's son who was executed on a Roman cross.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you more.
The Bible says that the name of Jesus is the name above all names, and at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess him, and every knee shall bow before him. Everyone knows who Jesus is, and chances are, even unbelievers have said his name at least three times already today. People don't respond to bad situations saying Buddha or Muhammad. It always seems to be the name of Jesus Christ. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 4, with our continuing study entitled Playing Games with Jesus.
He says it's time to stop asking for these nonsense, petty signs, and to believe I am here. With all that they had already heard and seen, they should have come to the conclusion, this guy is the real deal. We're going to put aside all this nonsense, all these rules, all the stuff that is so difficult, we can't even carry ourselves perfectly, and we're going to follow this man because he is the one. Everything points to it. But they didn't. Instead, here's what they did, and it's a mistake that many make today. In the church and outside the church so that they won't come to Christ. Inside the church so they won't follow him further. And that is this. They show up with their own set of convictions. They show up with their own beliefs. They show up with their own philosophies. And they say, look, if we're going to accept you, if we're going to follow you, you need to fit into these. And if you don't, well, we just can't believe in you. And so many are left unchanged today. They were left unchanged. Jesus walks away from them. He would have no more of it. And so many are left unchanged today because they approach the Lord that way. I'm set. I'm established. I've got what I think. I've got what I believe. I remember for years, my mom seems to be doing well now, following the Lord, going to church regularly. But for years, she would always have a hard time finding a church because she says, they don't teach what I believe. I said, Mom, if you want what you believe taught, you need to start a church. And no one will go to it because if they want someone that teaches what they believe, they're not going to go to your church either. What matters is, what does God say? What does God's word say? We're going to talk about this a little more next week, understanding what Jesus believes, because he's going to pull his disciples aside. He's going to move on with them, and he's going to basically tell them, hey, don't listen. Watch, be careful of their doctrine. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, be careful. He says, basically, there's some bad doctrine out there. Don't listen to it. But they came with their own doctrine. They came with their own philosophy, and they would not be changed. And so they did not follow Jesus. They didn't come to the proper conclusion. And it wasn't because they couldn't. It was because they wouldn't. And that's really the issue when it comes to following Jesus. It's not a matter of, I just can't. There's just not enough evidence. It's really a matter of, I don't want to. I don't want that to be true. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to go that direction. Now, I want to encourage you. Okay, well, please do. When we witness to others, you don't have the burden of trying to have to prove anything. You don't have to prove anything to someone else. You don't have to try to prove the existence of God. You don't have to prove that He's changed your life. They should see it. But the burden of proof isn't on you. Jesus has already given so much evidence that people are without excuse. He's given everything necessary to show the world that He is legitimate, that He is the Savior, that He is God, and that He is available. He's given them everything. The heavens, it says, declare the glory of God. Look around. In Romans, it says that people knew that God was there. But they chose, because of the wickedness in their own heart, they chose to dismiss Him. And so God finally just turned them over. All right. You don't want to have anything to do with me? I'm going to turn you over to your own lusts, your own desires, and you just go for it. We see that. I said they weren't thankful to God. That's the beginning of forgetting Him, by the way. When you forget to be thankful to God in the little things, giving Him thanks, then we become grumblers. We're not thankful. And as we become grumblers, we get our eyes on other things and what we don't have and what we want, what this person is saying, then we're on a slow drift toward forgetting God altogether. We need to be thankful. We need to continue to look to Him and remember that He is. So the heavens declare the glory. Eternity is in our hearts. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has put eternity in the heart of man. Not like a dog, not like an animal. We're not evolved. No animals worship anything. Now, dogs look like they worship. You know, they run after you. But they don't worship. They just go crazy over you. But worship requires sacrifice, not just jumping up and down with muddy paws and your tongue hanging out. Worship requires sacrifice. Every nation that's ever existed understood that, even with false gods. They understood, if we're going to worship this false god, it's going to be sacrifice. There's got to be sacrifice. Worship means I'm going to follow You. I believe in You. I'm going to put my life in Your hands. You are over me. Everything I want to be, I find in You. That's worship. On a small scale, people worship stars. What You are, I want to be. But we worship God. And we build churches. People will set up their idols because we are driven toward worship. Eternity is set in our hearts. And that is unlike the animals. You don't evolve into this. God set this in man from the beginning, this need to worship Him. Dogs never will. There never will be church splits between the Chihuahuas and the Border Collies. You know, they just won't have church. But we will. We always will. We will always be seeking God. And He's made Himself evident, accessible through Jesus Christ. So the heavens declare the glory. There's eternity that's set in our hearts. That's enough. But there's more. There's fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. If you want to be genuine in your search, then you'll look at this Old Testament, these scriptures. You go, okay, there's all these predictions. Did they happen? There's all these prophecies. That's what's amazing about the Word of God. It's not afraid to make some predictions. Books kind of try to figure out what's going to happen in the next 10 years and what's going to happen over time, but they're wrong. But the Bible, without fail. And so you look at the Old Testament prophecies, Daniel 9:24, the prophecy about the one who would come at a specific time and be cut off. If you look at the original language, the word cut off means cut off for a covenant. And it says not for himself. So one would come a specific number of days and be cut off, not for himself. We know that to be the time that Jesus enters, that very day on Palm Sunday, where He would be cut off. On a covenant, not for himself. There's Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Hey, you need a sign? Look back. Look at the scriptures. I'll give you a sign. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He shall be called Emmanuel. And according to Matthew 1:23, that means God with us. So this will be your sign. Virgin will conceive. You guys heard the stories? You know Mary. There's John, in the New Testament, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist was baptizing, and Jesus approaches, and John points to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Because for years and years and years, God had established a system of sacrifice that a lamb had to be brought before the altar once a year, atoning for the sins of the nation. Every year it had to happen. And it had to be a perfect lamb, without spot, without blemish. And so now it is time. No more one every year having to do a sacrifice. John says, "Now there is the Lamb, the Lamb of God. There he is." God's sacrificial system, that perfect sacrifice. Jesus showed up. A number of years ago, a man by the name of Peter Stoner and also Robert Newman wrote a book called Science Speaks. It's a very old book, hard to find copies now, although you can get it online, but it's a very dry read, hard read, unless you just love science, numbers, and those kinds of things. But it was based on the scientific probability and was vouched for by the American Scientific Association, and it set out to find out what the odds would be of any one man in all of history fulfilling only 8 of the 60 major prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Just 8 of them. What are the odds of somebody just fulfilling 8 of the prophecies Jesus fulfilled? I mean, you have no control over some of these, like born in Bethlehem. Okay, that wipes out most of the world. Was born here, born during this time. Then this happened, born of a virgin. You know, just 8 of them. Of all of them that Jesus fulfilled that would point to him as the one. And these were the odds. The probability that Jesus of Nazareth could have fulfilled even 8 such prophecies would be only 1 in 10 to the 17th power. To give you what a number, that is 1 in 100 quadrillion. Those are the chances of fulfilling just 8 of those. And let me give you some perspective here. A silver dollar. It said, to have these odds, here's what it's like. If you were to take a silver dollar and stack them, you would be able to line the entire state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep. Now, take one of those silver dollars, tape it or mark it black, mix it all in there. Stick somebody in the middle of Texas, put a blindfold on them, and let them walk around and pick 1 silver dollar. Those are the odds. For him, his first try, picking the right one, those are the odds of one man fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies. So can there be anyone else? I mean, first of all, he fulfilled them. More than that, 60. I don't know. I think the number was too big to do. They said, let's stop at 8. I mean, where do you go from Texas, right? But Jesus fulfilled them. So there's fulfilled prophecy. There's fulfillment of prophecy in the New Testament too. I know, wait, isn't the New Testament fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy? Yes, but even Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection. He had said, destroy this tent. And in 3 days, it'll rise. He told his disciples, hey, I'm going to they're going to kill me. They're going to be handed over. Son of Man's going to be handed over. They're going to kill him, and then he'll be lifted up. Don't worry about it. And they couldn't get that. Jesus predicted his own death, burial, and resurrection. So that came to pass too. Changed lives. There's the testimony of changed lives. I want you to just look in this room alone, this small church, and look at the transformed lives here. And then consider that there are churches much larger and there are more churches just like us and some much smaller, meeting all over the world with transformed lives in them. It's not like we're here in this group and we just happen to have some kind of doctrine or some pastor or leader who influences us toward change. No, we're on the same page here in this room as others who are following the Word of God, following Christ in churches and places all over the world. How is that? Changed lives. Consider how many churches there are following the Lord. We have so much in common with. Consider how many or how major some of these changes are martyrs who are willing to die for this faith. The apostles were. So there's changed lives. And then here's another one I want to offer you. The witness that they have is that Jesus' name is the name above all names. Scripture says it is. Scripture said it would be. And it is. I mean, there is no more famous name than Jesus. There's no one more famous. No prophet. There's some great prophets in other religions, but I don't know them. If you're not in that religion, you don't know them. But Jesus, everyone knows Jesus. There's no name above his name. Now, that's not bad for a humble carpenter's son who was executed on a Roman cross. And let me give you some perspective. A Roman cross, it was a standard procedure of execution. It wasn't like, you're going to be killed in a way no one else has. They had Roman crosses all over the place. That's the way they killed, the way they tortured, the way they prolonged your death, the way that they would set you up as a sign. You want to defy Rome? Welcome to Rome. As you come into the gates of Rome, there you would see crosses, people dying. And it was a sign for you, a symbol. If you don't want to end up there, then I suggest you behave here. And so, do you remember the names of those who've been executed lately through lethal injection, through the electric chair? No. I mean, there's some big names. And if you come from a particular time in history, you might go, yeah, this person, Carla Faye Tucker, when she was killed. And we remember her in the church because she had such a radical transformation and accepted her execution, the consequences of her sin. But we don't remember them. Lots of people have defied the law and died. And yet, Jesus is remembered by not just his generation, but every generation. Why? Because he is Lord. Because he is the name above all names. His prophecy is fulfilled. And because the Bible is true. He's alive. Jesus continues to live. And he continues to march down the corridors of time, changing lives and calling out to all who will hear his voice, follow me, everyone. Now the key is to follow him by faith and to stop saying, give me a sign, show me a sign. It's not a matter of needing a sign, it's a matter of the will. It really is. And that takes the burden off of you and me as witnesses. It's a matter of the will. Sadly, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, didn't believe Jesus, and so he departs. And that's the final reaction here. At the end of verse 4, it says, he left them and departed. See, Jesus doesn't play games. He will bypass you. If he wants to use you and you want to play games, he'll bypass you. He's not going to sit there and go, man, this is for you only, and I'm just going to make sure you get this. Now, if you want to play games with him, I got people. I got a remnant. Elijah was so worried about, Lord, I'm the only one left. God said, well, settle down. I've got several left who'll not bow down to Baal, and I'll use them. If we want to be useful, we got to stop playing word games. We got to stop playing games with Jesus. If you want to experience transformation, you got to stop playing games with Jesus. If you want to experience salvation, you got to stop playing games with Jesus. There are enough signs. Look around. And those that you're ministering to, those that you're reaching out to, they've seen enough signs. You're not the very first person to ever speak the name Jesus to them, more than likely, especially in this country. And so God's been working on them. God's trying to reach out to them. But it's a matter of the will. Jesus sees past the front, the excuses, and he looks at the sincere questions. He looks inside the heart of a person. The woman at the well discovered this. The woman at the well in Samaria. Jesus said, where's your husband? She said, well, I have no husband. Word games. She's in sin with somebody. I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the person you're with now isn't your husband. She said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. That's an understatement. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Man, this word, just turn, go read that. Just go read that chapter. You give them the presentation, you tell them about your life, and then you say, "Look, if you really want to know if he's real, he's going to have to do it. I can't." So you take his word, take this chapter, find a good chapter for him, and say, "You read that. If you don't want to know, you won't read it." And that shows you're insincere. If you really want to know, you get in there. His word's alive. And you can trust him through his words to do a work. When we deal with the Lord, we need to do so honestly and we need to do so genuinely. Is the Lord calling you to himself? Is he calling you to a deeper walk? Is he calling you to trust him? Maybe to himself for the first time. Is he asking you to follow him? Then stop asking for signs. Proof. Show me. When you do this, Lord, come on, Lord. Come on. Stop doing that to the Lord and believe him. Follow him. Who else is talking to you? I know the enemy could. Yeah, the enemy wants me to lay down my life and follow Jesus and sacrifice and give to these people. And no. When you hear those kinds of things, you know the Lord is the one that causes you to deny yourself and to pick up your cross and to follow him. Satan's word to you is defend yourself. Look out for number one. Use your brain. Care for yourself. Take care of you. Those are Satan's messages. But Jesus is our, put yourself in the place of total dependence on me. That's heavy. But he's the one who carries us even then. So believe. Because that's at the heart of the very verse that's heard around the world, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that word believe, here's a word picture. When you sit in your chair and you believe, you sit and you put all of your weight. You don't make sure here. Okay. And then you sit down and put all your weight. When you believe a chair is going to hold you, you plop down on it. The more faith you have in that chair, there's some chairs you do kind of, let me check this thing, you know. But there are other chairs, man, you'd park your tank on it. Well, Jesus is like that chair. Put your weight on him. He says, "Believe in me." Believe. Stop asking for signs. Yeah, just believe. Stop asking for signs. They're already around. The heavens, they declare the glory. So when you ask the question, "But is he big enough?" Just look around. Change lives. You look around, you see people doing so many great things for the Lord. Doesn't that inspire you? Man, they've changed so much. Oh, look what God is doing in their lives. I want to be on that course. Don't you? Well, then surrender. Believe. Follow him. How about martyrs? You ever ask the question, "Is he worth it?" Well, there are people who've died who have said that it is. They're banking on it. And then there's one more. There's the voice. Yeah, that voice. It's not me. Sometimes it might sound like me after a service, or it might sound like your spouse, but it's the Lord. See, there's someone inside who is calling you personally. He's speaking to you. He's convicting you. You know it. The question is, how do you respond to it? Where is your will in this whole thing? I want to encourage you to respond. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." But we should not assume that he's always going to keep knocking. He will move on. Let's not let that happen. Let's follow him.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock, in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.